I'm Kevin McCrory, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is considered a rising star in the Democratic Party, who is often mentioned as a contender for the 2028 presidential primary. He's also facing several pressing issues as the top executive of the state, including a SEPTA funding crisis that could soon have dramatic impacts on the Philadelphia region. I spoke to Shapiro briefly Wednesday about what he's doing to find consensus in Harrisburg's divided government and his future political aspirations. We started by acknowledging the recent arsonist attack on the governor's mansion. Governor, thank you for joining us on WHYY.
Great to be with you, Kevin. Thank you.
We'll get to policy and politics in a minute, but I'd be remiss if I didn't start this conversation on a human level. It's been a month since an arsonist broke into the governor's mansion in Harrisburg, set a fire while you and your family were sleeping, and reportedly planned to attack you with a hammer. Your family escaped unscathed, and the suspect is in custody, but I just wanted to express my sympathy to you and your loved ones for the lingering effects of this traumatic incident.
Thank you. Thank you for your expressions, and truly, I want folks to know that Lori and I have heard the prayers from people all across this great Commonwealth, and they've really lifted us up. I know it might sound a little bit corny to say, I'm not sure that's the right word, but we really have been strengthened by people's prayers. I mean, I'm a prayerful person. I'm someone who relies on prayer, and to hear prayers from people of all different walks of life, all different faiths looking out for us, really means a lot. Thank God we're okay. I'm so grateful to the firefighters and the police who made sure we got out alive. For the prosecutors, they're going to hold this person accountable. And we're rebuilding the governor's residence and hope to welcome people back there soon, because it's the people's house. It's a place where Lori and I like to welcome people from all different walks of life, all different communities. And we want that to be open again soon. So just thank you for your wishes. Thanks to everyone for their prayers. And we're doing okay. Most importantly, and I've been worried about our kids. Our kids are doing okay. And I think we're going to get through it. I said that next morning at the residence, when folks got a chance to see the devastation, I said, nothing's going to deter me from doing my work, doing my job. And, I've doubled down on my efforts, and I'm going to keep driving really hard for the good people of Pennsylvania.
Well, glad to hear that you're doing well and you're finding some strength out of that terrible incident. So,
Thank you.
On to business. I think the top issue in Harrisburg on the minds of people in southeastern Pennsylvania is SEPTA. The Transit Authority is facing a deficit of $213 million and says it would need to drastically cut service, increase fares, and shed jobs unless it gets more funding from state government. So what are you doing behind the scenes to get a deal together on this issue?
Absolutely. First, let me just make very clear, mass transit is critically important. And I know we're going to talk just about SEPTA, but I think it's important to note that mass transit is important in all 67 counties, whether it's a rural county where a senior uses a rideshare program, a larger mass transit agency like what there is in Pittsburgh, or obviously our Commonwealth's largest one, SEPTA in southeastern PA. I mean, this is vital for people to get to work or get their kids to the after school programs they need, or just go out and visit with friends. And it's got to work. It's also really critically important for our economy that we have a strong and vibrant mass transit system. For the last 2 years, I've been calling for significant investment in SEPTA, and not just one time, but on a recurring basis, so that SEPTA and other mass transit agencies can be healthy for years to come. My proposal has been passed by the House of Representatives three times. The House, I should note, is led by Democrats. And three times after they passed it, it went over to the Senate, which is led by Republicans, and they killed it each time.
What are you doing this time to make a difference, to make a change? How are you working with those Republican leaders in the Senate?
Well, let me just say, what I did last time to stave off the cuts was I actually flexed money, using my power as governor, took money away from some other infrastructure project, moved it to SEPTA to keep them afloat. But there are no more, kind of quick fixes like that. We've got to get around the table and pass a bipartisan bill. Republican leaders in the Senate have asked if I'd be open to the idea of funding mass transit along with increased funding for roads and bridges, Of course I am. And I've made that very clear. And so we're working on a package that would fund roads, bridges, and mass transit across Pennsylvania at the levels we need to fund it at, so it doesn't create the kind of crisis and cuts that SEPTA officials have warned about.
So
I
you're
think right now,
optimistic that a deal will come together this summer that will stave off these cuts?
I'm working hard at it, but I think right now all your listeners who care about SEPTA, who care about mass transit, they got to call their state senators, because this package that I've proposed has passed multiple times in the House. The House is not the problem here. The Senate needs to take it up. They got to vote on it. They got to pass it. I'm very willing to meet them in the middle, as I always am, on a whole host of issues to find common ground. But this is one where we can no longer kick the can down the road. We've got to get this done. Mass transit is really critical. And I'd urge you to call your state senator and let them know just how important it is to you as well.
Okay. CNN's Jake Tapper has a book out next week detailing former President Biden's decision to run for a second term despite a decline in his abilities. And a story that came out yesterday in the New York Post talks about a meeting that you had with Joe and Jill Biden, where it seems like you questioned if Biden's inner circle was sheltering him from bad news. I'm wondering if you think Democrats would have had a better chance of retaining the presidency if there was more honesty and reflection on Team Biden before he sought re-election.
So look, I haven't seen Jake's book, so I can't comment on the specifics. I was very honest with the president behind the scenes, multiple times about his need to address different issues in Pennsylvania. One of the issues I thought was important for him to address was his fitness, his ability to do the job for another 4 years. And second, I pushed them hard to address the issue of rising costs and what their plans were to do about it. So if the book states that, then that's accurate. I was honest with the president. I was honest with his aides that that was something that needed to be addressed for the good people of Pennsylvania. As for, kind of Monday morning quarterbacking, should he have dropped out earlier, or should there have been a primary, what have you? I don't know how helpful that is at this point. What's done is done. I think what's important now is that we look forward, and that we figure out ways where we can work with the president to work with him, but where we need to oppose him to protect, in my case, the interests of Pennsylvanians, we do. That's why I've taken the president to court multiple times and won each time to protect Pennsylvanians. And that as we go forward, both as a party and thinking about the future, that there's a concrete alternative vision that shows how we can actually deliver for people and not just oppose Donald Trump. It's got to be an affirmative agenda as well. And so I'm less focused on looking backwards at what could have been or should have been, and much more focused on what the future looks like and governing my state here effectively. And making sure I can deliver and get stuff done for the good people of Pennsylvania.
I know you're focused on Pennsylvania, but there is this division among Democrats in how to rebuild a winning coalition. And I'm curious if you were crafting that strategy as part of the DNC, like what would you focus on? What would you not focus on?
Well, look, I do my job every day in Pennsylvania, what is, I think, the ultimate swing state. Right? The toughest state to win. I'm governing with a divided legislature. I've got a House led by Democrats, a Senate led by Republicans. And I think by all accounts, we not only won the election with more votes than anybody in the history of Pennsylvania running for governor, we're in pretty strong standing because we've shown an ability to get things done, to address our unconstitutional education system and give kids no matter their zip code an opportunity to get ahead. Fix our permitting system, which slowed everything down. I mean, I know it sounds geeky, but just one example, it took 8 weeks to get a business license to open up your business in Pennsylvania the day I got sworn in. Today, you get it same day. And that's just one example of the many ways we've sped up permitting. We're growing again economically and getting all kinds of accolades and awards for our economic development strategy. I said that we were going to hire 2,000 police officers across Pennsylvania and invest in violence prevention initiatives. We've done both, and crime is down across Pennsylvania 38%. So whether it's schools or safety or economic opportunity, speeding up government, making it more efficient and effective. We're leading the way in Pennsylvania. And I think that's what Democrats and Republicans want. They just want government to work. They don't want chaos and drama. And they want to see their government officials working on their behalf, not their own agendas. And that to me is what is sorely needed. So I'm going to be less focused on the games in DC and far more focused on delivering in Pennsylvania. And I think that ultimately is a recipe for what we need to do going forward all across this great country.
All right, one more national question. Your name is often floated as a Democrat with strong centrist appeal who could build a winning coalition. Are you planning to run for president in 2028?
Look, I am grateful that people are taking note of the work we're doing in our Commonwealth. And I'm grateful that they see that as an example of what is needed in the country. As I just said to you in your question before, I think we need to focus on that, on results, on delivering for people, on solving problems instead of just talking about them. And so sure, it's humbling that people have taken note of our work. But I'm focused entirely on my work here in Pennsylvania, and that's all.
Do you think you'd make a good president?
I think I'm a good governor, and I want to keep being a good governor. I love the work I'm doing, and I love the way we are building coalitions to actually solve problems that have existed for a good long while. I mean, look, I'll just give you one example. You got a lot of seniors listening to this program. For 30 years, Harrisburg talked about giving seniors a tax cut. I got elected governor, brought Democrats and Republicans together, and in my first 6 months in office, delivered the largest tax cut to them in decades. That's just one example of the many, many things we've done where we've been able to build consensus and get things done. I think we need more consensus in this country. I think we need more people to build things up instead of tear things down. And that's the work I'm focused on doing in Pennsylvania.
All right, back to local problems that need to be solved then. We've seen the collapse of the Crozier Health System in Delaware County in recent weeks. And this was a system that was essentially gutted by a private equity firm over a decade. There's been this push to give the state attorney general power to stop mergers and acquisitions of hospital systems that the office says would go against the public interest. Do you support that idea? Is there a coalition here to solve that problem?
Yeah, I do, but let me take a half step back to kind of set the table, and then I'll answer your question really directly. Crozier is a critically important healthcare system, was in Delaware County, providing life-saving and really quality healthcare. Crozier was owned by a for-profit entity that's known as a private equity firm, and basically what they did was they bled the healthcare system dry. They took money out of it. They lined their pockets. And at the end of the day, when they couldn't line their pockets anymore, they shut down and they created a real crisis in Delaware County, in the city of Chester, and that area. I'm actually going to be out there tomorrow with some announcements on some things we're doing to try and ease the pain that the community is dealing with. But more broadly, yes, we need the Attorney General of Pennsylvania to have more power to oversee these kinds of transactions in the healthcare space to make sure that the public interest is always top of mind, not just the private profit making of these entities. And I've also called for ending private equity's role in healthcare institutions like what we saw at Crozier. My plans have been turned into legislation that's been introduced in the House, and they're going to work through that now. I think there should be bipartisan support for that. Healthcare should be about delivering great quality care for people, not just about profit making for private equity firms. And I think Crozier is just the latest example of how private equity has corrupted our healthcare system.
All right, Governor Shapiro, I know you're up against your time limit here, but I'll give you an easy one to end. Is this the year the Phillies bring it all together and go all the way?
Oh, I think so, man. First off, the Birds set a great example of what you need to be a championship team. The way you've got to stay locked in and focused all season. We got really excellent starting pitching. Our bats are starting to really come together. But I think we've got what it takes to not just overtake the Mets in the NL East, but make a really good run.
Love the optimism, Governor Josh Shapiro. Thank you so much for joining us on WHYY.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
That was Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. This Studio 2 Extra was produced by me, Kevin McCrory, with help from Debbie Builder. Al Banks engineered the recording. Studio 2 is Greater Philadelphia's home for live conversation. Catch the show Tuesday through Thursday at noon on WHYY-FM and streaming on WHYY's YouTube channel. Our Studio 2 Extras are the best in everything else we find interesting, thought-provoking, and inspiring.